Welcome to Earnestly Contending for the Faith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. Today, we are going to be doing the second part in our series called Apostasy in the Church. I closed out our last session by calling out a whole list of false doctrine, false religion, and also many of the heretics and apostates that included religious and political leaders that are part of today's professing church. And that list that I just referred to describes an ungodly, anti-Christian mixed multitude and their false doctrine that dominates the apostate American Christianity of today. We are warned of false shepherds, false pastors, and false prophets time after time in the scriptures. God has some very special instructions, admonitions, and warnings for those who would be shepherds and pastors. God also has some very specific qualifications for those who would be leaders in local New Testament churches. God also holds the people of those congregations responsible for their actions and doctrines. Let's start out today by turning to Isaiah chapter 30, and we'll read verses 8 through 11. Verse 8 says this, "Now go write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceit. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us." Now, Isaiah chapter 30 is a very stern warning to any people that would reject the word of God and seek for themselves false prophets that will tell them what they want to hear. Folks, we are not our pastors and teachers and preachers are not the only ones that's responsible for maintaining a church that is doctrinally pure. You, as a member of a Bible-believing church, have a responsibility before God to make sure that your church is clean doctrinally. Scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, and also 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, all the way through chapter 4, verse 3, are the New Testament parallel that describe a time which will abound with false doctrine when Christians will heap to themselves teachers that will tell them what they want to hear. Let's go and look at those passages of Scripture. I will not offer a lot of commentary on them. They speak for themselves. Now the Spirit in verse 1 of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meat, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth." That's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Now we'll look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 1, and we're going to read all the way up through 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4. Starting in verse 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. That's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Now for 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. God has many things to say in the Bible about shepherds who will not protect his people, and who will not minister to his people, who will not teach his people, who will, and also who would abuse his people, and who are in the ministry for their own gain. Folks, God hates hirelings. Those who would be God's shepherds are to protect the flock from false doctrine. And that's one of the focuses of this particular short series, is dealing with doctrine. Note the following scriptures. We're going to read a number of passages of scripture, including Ezekiel 34, verses 2 through 4, Isaiah 56, 10 and 11, Ezekiel 22, verse 26, Ezekiel 44, verse 23, Hosea 4, verse 6, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3, Titus chapter 1, verse 7, and 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. Now in Ezekiel chapter 34, we read this, starting in verse 2, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. Isaiah 56, verses 10 and 11. His watchmen are blind, they are all ignorant, they are all dumb dogs, they cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain, from his quarter. Now in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 26 says this, her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profaned among them. Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 23, and they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of God, I will also forget thy children. Then we have Amos chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. My, what a description that is of our generation here in 2026. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3. Not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. Titus chapter 1, and folks, remind you, we're talking about shepherds here, those that are supposed to be shepherding our flocks, our churches, our congregations. Titus chapter 1, verse 7 says, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, gives this charge to the man of God. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. That, folks, is some very strong statements from the Bible that tell us what God expects of our shepherds, and they are condemned because they are not doing that which is expected of them by God. Now, the New Testament warns us time and again about false prophets and teachers in passages of Scripture such as Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, Matthew 24, verses 11 and 12, and also Matthew 24, 24, Luke 6, verse 26, 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 through 15, and also 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3. We're going to go and read those passages of Scripture. Once again, we'll not make a lot of commentary on them because they are pretty much self-explanatory. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 says this, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Matthew chapter 24, verses 11 and 12 says, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Matthew chapter 24, verse 24 says this, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Luke chapter 6, verse 26, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 through 15. Listen at these very carefully. We've got a lot of people in our pulpits that profess to be Christians, but they're not. What they are is they're preachers for the devil. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. Through 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Folks, we have a bunch of devils in the pulpits of American churches, and they are Satan's. They belong to Satan. Now let's look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destructions. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Matthew 24:24 and 2 Thessalonians 2:9 tells us that the end times will be marked by a false signs and wonders movement whose objective is deceit. Welcome to America of 2026. Verse 3 of 2 Peter chapter 2 is what nails many television ministries whose constant appeals are for money and not the salvation of souls. They want you to sow your monetary seed into their ministry, but when it comes time to minister to your sick and preach the funerals of your dead loved ones, they are nowhere to be found. God's command is to tie to your local church. Much of professing Christianity is caught up in the heresy of allowing women to be preachers, pastors, deacons, and teachers in mixed groups of adults that include men. The Southern Baptist Convention churches regularly fall into this heresy. If you're a woman sitting under the sound of my voice, God has not and will not call you to be a preacher, pastor, deacon, or teacher where you would have men under your authority or teaching. God would not violate his word to issue you a special call that would contradict the scriptures. Many women who preach before men and hold a pastorate over men insist that they have been called of God. That cannot be. Here's what the Bible says. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over a man, but to be in silence. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and this is a true statement. If a man desire the office of bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. And then in Titus chapter 1, verses 5 and 6 says this, for this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. Now, 1 Timothy 2:12 that I just read should silence all women preachers and pastors who insist that they are scripturally qualified to teach and pastor men. The Bible says to said there in 1 Timothy chapter 2 to suffer not. In other words, don't even allow it with prejudice for them to have any authority over a man. Now, 1 Timothy 3:2 and also Titus 1:6 also rule out women being pastors and teachers of men, since women cannot be the husband of one wife. Women, false prophetess, are not without condemnation in the Bible. Looking at, let's take a look at Ezekiel 13 verses 17 through 23 and also Revelation 2:20. Verse 17 of Ezekiel 13 says this, Likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people, which prophesy out of their own heart, and prophesy thou against them, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Woe to the women that sew pillows to all armholes, and make kerchiefs upon the head of every stature to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people, and will you save the souls alive that come unto you? And will you pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread, to slay the souls that should not die, and to save the souls alive that should not live, by your lying to my people that hear your lies? Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against your pillows, wherewith ye there hunt the souls to make them fly, and I will tear them from your arms, and I will let the souls go, even the souls that ye hunt to make them fly. Your kerchiefs also will I tear, and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall be no more in your hand to be hunted, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Because with lies ye have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way by promising him life. Therefore ye shall see no more vanity nor divine divinations, for I will deliver my people out of your hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. That's Ezekiel 13, verses 17 through 23. And note that it starts out and with this phrase, Likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters. It's talking about the women there. Now, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 20, it says this, Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. That those passages of Scripture speak for themselves, folks. What is God's remedy for false doctrines and false teachers? We are not to fellowship with false teachers and heretics, nor are we to wish them Godspeed. We're going to go read and read several more passages of Scripture, and I want you to note that I'm putting much emphasis on this in this two-part series upon the Scriptures themselves. The Scriptures are the prescription for correcting the virus of apostasy and false teaching that we see in our churches today. Let's go and look at Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through chapter 7, verse 1, Ephesians 5, 11, Titus 3, 10, 2 John verses 9 through 11, and Revelation 18, 4. Listen very carefully to these. This is God's charge to us concerning false teachers and false prophets. Verse 17 of Romans 16. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they are such, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. And note that it says that we are to mark those that cause division and offenses contrary to doctrine, and we are to avoid them. That's pretty straightforward. We're not to fellowship with a heretic. Christian love does not apply to false doctrine, folks. We're just to separate from it. But we are to rebuke them in love, is what the Bible says. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. And folks, what we're going to deal with here in this passage is being unequally yoked unto unbelievers and false doctrine and also the works of the devil. Starting in verse 14 of this passage. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Then we have Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And then in Titus chapter 3, verse 10, a man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. Let me repeat that one. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. Then we have 2 John verses 9 through 11. Verse 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Revelation 18:4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. It does not matter what you or I think about separating from those who hold to false doctrine. It is clear from the passages of Scripture, which have been numerous in this series that I have quoted, that God commands us to come out from among those people. We are not to hold hands with those who deny the doctrines of the Bible. That means that you cannot participate in joint ventures with apostates and heretics, and that especially includes evangelistic crusades. The most frequently corrupted doctrine manward is the doctrine of salvation. The most frequently corrupted doctrine godward is the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Both corruptions can and do condemn lost sinners to hell. I will close with the following. What you hold to for doctrine is of the utmost importance to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ had this to say in Matthew chapter 15, verse 9. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. I would close with this question for you, or this statement for you. Plainly stated there in Matthew 15, verse 9, if your doctrine is corrupt, then your worship is in vain. I would submit to you that most of the worship within apostate and heretical Christianity is done in vain, because the doctrine in today's professing church has come so corrupt that it cannot be even recognized as Bible doctrine. So I think I would urge you to consider all that we've talked about in this series. I know it's been very strong, and I also know that it needed to be very strong. I want to thank you for joining us.